All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. All right. If our rock students are here, and if you guys still have class, I think you do, as far as I know, you guys can go ahead and head that way. And we are glad to be with you this morning to worship together, and we are incredibly grateful that you are all here and made it safe. Did anybody have some treacherous roads to navigate on the way here? Nobody. Oh, you guys did. Okay. Everyone else is excellent drivers, so we'll work with you guys this week on how to drive in the snow, I guess. So, but man, it's good to be here. It's good to worship together, whether the keyboard works or not. We are glad to be here together. So, each and every year, we get together. It's just we do something called an elders forum. And if you think of one of the things that I love most about the holidays is just getting together with family and sitting around the table and talking and catching up on what's going on in one another's lives and where the family's going this next year. So we get to do that, and it's a privilege for us just to be with you and sit with you and talk with you, maybe from a different perspective that you might not have heard here lately. So we're glad just to be doing that together this morning. So welcome, fellas. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm in my glory. All the snow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was sitting with me and Ryan. I'm like, that's kind of awkward, but all right. I can roll with that. All right. Yeah, so if you don't know, Paul is originally from Syracuse, so he lived in South Carolina for a long time.
The snowiest major United States city, like 30 years running, so yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah,
all right.
More than Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to shovel your driveway yet?
Yes, twice yesterday.
Was it fun?
It was.
You can.
I had a good.
Anybody else want Paul to come shovel their driveway this week? Just sign up at the Connection Center. Paul will be glad to take care of it for you. Thanks for volunteering, man. So, Ryan, your week been good?
Yeah, it's been a great week.
Awesome.
It's a happy to be here, having proud dad moments all morning long. So it's great to be here.
I love proud dad moments. So, we wanted to start just by sharing a little bit about what's going on in our families with you guys. We know there's been, over the last couple months, there's been quite a few of new families, which we're pretty excited about. And so they might not have the chance to get to know us or know who belongs to us. So we wanted to share a little bit about what's going on in our family. So Ryan, why don't you share just a quick update on what's going on in your world?
Yeah, I guess as I look back on this year and think about what's going on in our family, Bible talks about training up children, and our girls, who you've seen on stage this morning, Callie was singing and Kendall at the keys, they're 20 and 18, and so we've always thought of parenting as coaching, and so as they've grown from here to there, it's really a transition now as we go from teaching and training and coaching young kids into adulthood as they are still living in our house and things. So that's one of the things that we're focused on for Steph and me. Callie is a junior at OSU for secondary education, so she's excited about doing that and been becoming more and more involved in the worship team here and has been loving taking Hebrew literature classes at Ohio State University. So it's been pretty cool to watch at a public university her have only the Bible as a text in multiple classes this last couple of years. So that's been really cool. Kendall's a senior at Pickerington North, and excited as she's been applying for college and gotten accepted at OSU, and has become more and more involved using her gifts musically at school. She accompanies the chorus and the chorale at North, and over the years, she's done a lot musically with the student ministry and the kids ministry, and now just more recently, becoming part of the worship team here on Sunday morning. And so those were my proud dad moments. Love that, and it's just exciting to see them grow into young women.
Awesome, awesome. And I think she got a shout out for like secondary education out there. I think Barb's got that, awesome. And another one. All right. Paul, what's going on in your family? There's been quite the change in your lives over the last 2 years.
Yeah. We, too, are proud of our kids. You know, two of them having graduated from high school, going on to college, one at my alma mater, and excited about that. But last year was, pardon the phrase, a crazy busy year for the Dotomas. We weathered some intense storms in our family, including some real spiritual warfare, some difficult family issues, just kind of emotionally draining, physically draining. We had some of that. But God showed himself to be our strong tower. He was our refuge, and through it all, it was just neat to see how you could really rely on the Lord. And one of the verses that that he gave us comes from Isaiah 54:17. It says, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. You shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord." And so it was a difficult time in our lives, but it was a great time to see God at work doing what he says he will do in his word. On top of all of that, many of you know, for the last 3.5, almost 4 years, we were trying to sell our home in South Carolina. And last year, we had several contracts that fell through. So it was like you get all excited, we're going to sell the house, and boom, it doesn't work, you know. And so, but praise God, September.
It got to the point where, like, the last two or three, you didn't even get excited about them at all.
Yeah,
you're like, this is totally not going to happen.
Yeah, I'll wait until it happens. But come September, finally, after 3.5 years, we sold our home in South Carolina. And so that's wonderful to have that burden lifted off of us, because financially that hurt. Carrying, you know, two mortgages. So, and then also in September, my wife and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. That was great. We took a trip out to the Mountain West, and I surprised her. She had no clue. So that was a lot of fun. And then another kind of difficult moment was when my wife left a job that she loved. And it was just hard emotionally and everything. But then God turned around and has provided for her a new job here in the month of December. So that's kind of been what the year's been like.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. So you're the romantic type, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I don't mind saying so myself.
I don't know about Ryan here, but I am not. I'm not. Right? So anybody else, the not romantic type?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
No, about your romanticism.
Oh, yes. We're not talking about that today. So I'm curious. I don't know if envy is the right word. That might be a sin. But kind of looked at you and planning this whole trip out for you and Sandy. You were giddy about this whole thing. What are some tips you could give us as you plan this grand camping, glamping tour of the West with you and your bride? What were some tips that you would give to us non-romantic types?
Save some money. that would help. Just go with it. I mean, probably it's the destination is wonderful, but it's the journey that's the most fun. And when you have a woman who loves to take the journey with you, it really doesn't matter where you're going. You know, but I, you know, tips wise, I would just say, have an idea what are you going to say? It just, you know, I mean,
all the men in the room are like, I can do that.
Well, for me, it started out with, I'd like to do this and I'd like to do this. So how can I make that happen on this trip? You know, and I'm more detail oriented and planner. And so, it took me a while to get there, but I did it, and then I kind of did my own kind of, well, we're going to start here, we're going to go here, and then here, and here, and here, and then make it back to here, and it was just a matter of finding places to stay.
Yeah.
So it worked.
That's all it takes, just find a place to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. We're all enlightened at this moment. But
If you want more detail, I can see you after the service.
That was a great trip for you guys, and we're excited. For my family, we are currently in the midst of basketball season. And if you know anything about me, I'm a little bit on the competitive side, and we are currently winless. I know, the groaning, do you feel this? Yeah. So we're in the middle of basketball season, and the kids are doing great. We have three kids. Anna, our 17-year-old, she's down here shooting the video for us. And she is doing great. She's working at Slate Run Kennel, taking care of the animals there, doing a great job. And We're beginning to think about what does life look like as she turns 18 and graduates and decides what in the world she's going to do with the rest of her life. And we're looking forward to all that God has for her, but navigating through that season. For those of you that are or have been in it, you know, it's an interesting season for parents trying to figure out what that transition is like. And we also have Aaliyah, who is now 12 and has braces, which she is thoroughly excited about. And she is our creative child. And we've just seen God just working in her life. And I think she would agree with me if she was in the room, so maybe, hopefully she's not, but she'll watch the video later. She's kind of been our rebellious child. And can I say that?
I just did.
Yeah. But we love her to the moon and back, and we've just seen God work in her life over the last year, and seen her just really wanting to please the Lord, and I just had a great conversation with her about who the Lord is with the last time we did a communion here as a church family, which was great. Elijah, he is our softy, and he is our he has a big heart for people, and we're working with him through as he grows up and his friends begin to grow up, and he's kind of in that stage in third grade where some of his buddies start to get real busy with sports and other things, and sometimes his buddies are right there with him all the time, so he's beginning to learn what different kinds of friendships look like in his life, which has been great. Sarah has been wonderful, and she's a godsend in my life and in our family, and Sarah and I, we didn't travel out west, but we have gotten to get away a couple times this year, and we just enjoy long drives together just to catch up and talk. And so we've gone down south for a couple times this year. It's been great. So one update, many of you have been asking about my mom. So if you don't know, my mom has Alzheimer's. And in the last month or two, there's been some significant changes in where she's at. She's in the late stages of early Alzheimer's. So she is probably got about 6 months or so is what the doctors are saying. A kind of hospice has been called in. To begin to help with my family and my parents. So the next season for us is going to be an interesting one. We love my mom. She's been a great mom to all of us. And if you've been through a challenging situation like that, you know the challenges that that brings with brothers and sisters and moms and dads and everyone's schedules and all those kinds of things. So now we just appreciate your prayers as we kind of traverse those next 6 months for our family. So, but God is teaching us big things in the midst of all of that. And for us, as elders and pastors here, we're not like super, super Christians, you know? We're just like everybody else. We just have a different role that God has given us, and we have the same weaknesses that everyone does and the same need to learn and to draw close to the Lord. And I thought it'd be good if we could kind of share what are some of the things that God has been teaching us or challenging us with the most, just personally, in the past year. Probably good for the church to kind of hear from us on that level. So how's God been challenging you this year?
I guess I can start. As I reflected back on this year, what came to mind most vividly was our study on when we went through the crazy busy study earlier this fall, and one particular passage that continues to come back into my mind routinely as I just live life, and that's Colossians 1:18, and it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." And I've been challenged repeatedly with that, and we'll talk more later and in the coming weeks about what it looks like in our church to become a disciple and be a disciple-making disciple. But one of the things that we're going to hear lots about in the coming years is D groups. And a year ago, I was invited into a D group by John Yeomans, and so we've met now for like 9 months. And so with the backdrop of Christ being preeminent in everything, and with the added intentional personal interaction that this D group is offered. We're 5 days a week, we're reading passages in Scripture, and then we get together once a week and talk through a passage or two that stood out to us. And then also are memorizing Scripture and are challenging each other as men, as dads, as husbands, as elder, to live a life that's consistent with Christ being preeminent and answering questions that are consistent with that. Is that my life, or is that just what I want it to be? And so I've been steadily increasingly held accountable in that area, because it faces me every single Monday morning with these guys. And I've either been in the Word for 5 days or I haven't. And with busy life of job, of ministry at church, of parenting, of being a husband, all that time sometimes doesn't stretch. And so, that's what I'm challenged with, and that if I place him in his rightful positions of preeminence, he is more important than everything else that fills up my day. Yeah. And that's what I'm challenged in growing it.
Interesting. When you think about preeminence, there's all kinds of areas and categories in our life. What are some of the more challenging ones that it's been just to see? Because oftentimes we just kind of drift through life and we don't even think about other areas of our life. What are some areas of your life where you feel like, yeah, God has really said I need to be preeminent there in a different way maybe than I have been?
Time comes to mind. The things that stand in the way for me, probably in this order, are work. One more. Sleep, work, exercise, and family. Those are probably the things that put up a barrier. The things that I will tend to say yes to before saying yes to spending time in God's Word, or in spending it with Him in prayer, or memorizing Scripture. And I'd say the other thing would be in March, 15% of the company that I worked for got laid off. And so that shifted. I did not get laid off, but four of the people that I worked most closely with and my boss all got laid off, and the managers were walking around knocking on doors, and they knocked on my door, and it was for my manager to tell me that he was leaving, not that I was leaving. So in that moment, it becomes real right then. Who is it do I trust as my provider? Is it my employer, or is it Christ who's preeminent in my life?
Yeah. Awesome. What about you?
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
God's been doing some neat things in my life, and I think one of them is tied back into the struggles and the things that we dealt with this past year, and that is resting in the sovereignty of God. I've always believed that, and there are clearly seasons in my life where I have done that, but the reality is most of our lives are not lived in crisis mode. They're not lived to, you know, where you're always consciously thinking about, well, what does that look like in your life? But this year, it really did kind of, the heat got turned up, so to speak, and you have no place. You have to look to God for those things. And then seeing him come through and realizing that all the worrying, all the fretting, all the consternation, doesn't add a single moment to your life. And then at the end of it, God comes through anyway. So learning to rest in his sovereignty. And I think, too, what God has been showing me is that there's a big difference between understanding that here and living it out here. I would dare say probably most of you would all agree that God is sovereign, and all of that. But
sure. It's
when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and are we worrying about this, worrying about that, not trusting for this, not trusting for that? There's so many ways in which God's sovereignty impacts our life, and we can either rest in that, or we can take control, and we can try to, we can think we can do better than what God is able to do. And so that's been something huge for me. I think learning how to balance the demands of ministry and my need for rest and my family's need of me. I wish I could say, hey, last January, God taught me that lesson, and the year was, it just doesn't work that way. And the way that I'm built, too, is I need to do, and I need to do well. And when I can't do well, when I feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing and ought to be doing, the best that I possibly can do, I can beat myself up over that. So that kind of ties into resting in the sovereignty of God and realizing there's only so much time in the day. There's only so much that can be done. And God isn't going to not love me if I don't get something done that I feel personally. And so I've been wrestling with guilt and stuff like that, but learning to God, hearing his voice saying, it's okay, I'm in control. I will accomplish what concerns you. And really taking that to heart. I think that has been huge for me. And then lastly, along the lines of what Ryan was saying, being a part of a D group myself, you know, as a pastor, you know, this almost feels like confession, but
go ahead, man. We got all day.
30, so, 30, you know, I've been a Christian now.
About, let it out, Paul.
Yeah,
let
30, 37, 38 years, something. And I've been, you know, pastor for over 30 years. And I have never consistently, routinely read scripture like I've been reading scripture. Praying like I've been praying. That's something else that God has convicted me. And so this past year, I have built into my daily schedule extended periods of prayer, which has been amazing. But memorizing two verses a week at 58 years of age, you know.
Whoa, you're 58?
58, man, yeah.
Whew.
I know I look like I'm 38, but...
Yeah. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, so... But, you know, to have done that now for several months going into 2019, I don't know if I can say that. I'm jacked up. I really am because it's like...
Yes, you're 58.
I see what God is doing in my life, what he has done through this. And by the way, my D group brothers, I love you guys. Shout out to you. And it's just been amazing. So I can't even begin to think what the rest of 2019 is going to look like, how we will be growing closer together as brothers in Christ, how God's word is going to transform my life. And as the scripture says, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin again. I may not be able to quote chapter and verse and stuff, but it's there and God will bring it out when he needs to.
Yeah, well, praise God for that. I think for me, if you know me, I like to keep the rules. I like to, I'm a doer, I'm a fixer. And I like to do the right things. And sometimes that's not just because I'm super holy and awesome and stuff. Sometimes it's because I just don't want people to look at me. And as my D group, we've been reading through the Old Testament. I've always looked at the Old Testament as, in some ways, Israel's history of screwing up. So over and over again, you see Israel walking away from God. God does something amazing to rescue them and to bring them back and to restore them. And then again, they do evil in the sight of the Lord. He rescues them and does something amazing and brings them back and restores them. And again, they do something evil. And I've always, you know, there's a part of me that knows it's not true. But there's a part of me, if I'm honest, that would be like, you know, I and maybe you agree about yourself, but, you know, I'd be like, I am so much better than those Israelites. Has anybody else ever felt this way? So it's just me. All right. That's great. Speaking of confession. And as I've just been kind of reading through the Old Testament, God has just been impressing on me that the story of Israel isn't about Israel's weakness. It's not about their screwing up or their inability to keep God's law. It is about his grace. It's about his grace. And this morning was reminded of that again as I'm reading in Malachi chapter 3. It says, and this is in the midst of God's judgment against the people of Israel. And he says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Even in this moment of God judging the people, God extends grace to them. He reminds them that I am the one that will restore you. I am the one that will keep you, and I do not change. I do not change. And just for me, this past year, and just reading through the Old Testament, God has just kind of been refocusing and challenging my heart in ways that maybe I just have not thought about for a long time, that maybe I oftentimes look at his word about what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do, and sometimes I miss him in the midst of it, that he wants me to hear him and to focus on him, not just on how to do the right thing. So I'm curious, guys, as God works in our lives, just like he does everyone else, how does what God's doing in our lives impact our role as elders in the church? How does that look?
Well, I think the simplest answer to that is, and it's an adage we've heard before about not being able to lead people any further than you've gone yourself. We have to make sure that we're walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
That we have a relationship, that we're in prayer. If we're going to ask people to pray, read scripture, serve, and do all these other things, we need to be doing it. But it's not because it's something we have to do. It needs to be born out of our love for Christ. It's in response to his grace. And so, you know, as the, you know, Jesus is the good shepherd, he doesn't drive the sheep, he leads the sheep. And in the same way, that's what we're called to do. And so it's of utmost importance that we take care of our personal walk before the Lord if we have any hope to lead God's people.
Yeah, that's good. Anything to add? Did you add to that? I mean,
I think that one of the things that stands out to me is the, as you look at scripture and specifically you look at the qualifications for elders, in the first two phrases of every one of the passages that address that talks about our marriages, and it talks about the way we interact with our wives, and it talks about our wives. And so that is one area that as anyone who interacts with myself or any of us, and you're talking about an area of ministry that you're interested or whatever, pretty quickly, you'll likely get the question back to you. One, you know, what's your walk with the Lord like right now? And then two, you're going to get a question. So on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, how's your marriage right now? And sometimes it's a kind of a, both of those questions are maybe a little boring when you're excited and wanting to do something, you know, for the Lord, for the church, and you're getting a question that's talking about your quiet time or what your marriage is like, but Christ compared his relationship to the church in such a foremost way in Ephesians, and compared how husbands are to interact with their wives, and as we as leaders of Christ's church here on earth, we can only imagine that it is Christ's desire for us as leaders to interact with our wives like he challenged all men to interact with their wives, without reproach in that area as well as other areas. And so that would be the thing that stands out to me, that as we walk with the Lord and as we strive to live out a life of a leader of a church, that I hope that the interactions and relationships we have with our wives leak out and impact our body. And it's one of the reasons why our life group oftentimes, most times, focuses on marriage topics, because we feel like it's such an important thing for our body.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think for us, and much like whatever communities that you're in outside of church, whether it's a work community or a baseball community, whatever it is, there's a culture that's kind of set. And particularly for Paul and I, there's a culture that is out there for pastors. And much of that culture is really designed to turn pastors into professional pastors. They're to be professionals. And that doesn't sound bad, except for what it does is it's designed to create this this bubble, this pseudo-you that you can put out there. So people can see this, in essence, this fake you that you want to make you so that they will follow you. And the challenge with that is that well, it's fake, but it produces a church that is fake. And Scripture reminds us that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And for us, I think what we want isn't necessarily for the church to be learning the same things that we're learning, although we certainly want to pass on all the things that God's teaching us. God's word, as we teach God's word, is what drives what we're teaching. But as God is working in our lives, that bubbles to the top, and that is what we share. And so when it comes to how does what God's doing in our lives affect us as elders in our role, we don't want to conjure up some sort of vision for the church. We don't want to conjure up some sort of plan or strategy to somehow like fill this room, and wouldn't that be exciting? Certainly that would be fun and exciting. But what we want and desire is that as God is growing and discipling us, we want to see that happen in your lives. And in addition to that, we want to see you beginning to take what God is doing in your life and discipling others with it. So our hope and our prayers, that kind of passes on. And that's what we get really juiced and excited about, or jacked about. So as we to switch gears here a little bit, as we think about last year, 2018, and all the things that God has done and that we've been able to be a part of, what are some of the most things that you might be the most excited about from last year, as you kind of recall what happened, what we did, what God did?
I think one of the things that stands out to me, and there's a lot, but it was very apparent throughout the year and continues to be over the last several weeks, is a growing hunger for God's word. You know, one of the things that I tend to do once service is over is I head out to the atrium and chat with people as they're getting ready to leave. And so many of you come up afterwards and share. And last week, as an example, you know, I had like three people come up, whipped out their sermon notes, you know, full page of notes, which is always encouraging for the preacher to see that people are taking notes.
Curious, I know you didn't expect this. Oftentimes people try to convey to us after the message. Sometimes it's like, wow, you missed that one, Pastor, which never happens to you, only to Ryan, right? Right? Just kidding. What's after the sermon, because sometimes it can wrongly affect our ego, right? If we're honest. When you hear people talk about the sermon after and talk to you, what are some of the things that does your heart good, that you think is a healthy response for people, that you hear from people?
I'm not sure I follow that question.
Well, here's an example. Sometimes people, right, wrong, or indifferent, when I'm speaking, sometimes, they'll be like, man, that was a good sermon. Way to go, Pastor. Right? Which, for me, in processing that, I don't so much want people to think, man, Eric delivered that message so well. Which they always think. So what are some things that are encouraging to you as you hear like those kind of responses from people?
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't prepared for this. Well, first of all, I'll back up just a little bit there because I'm my own worst critic. So initially, early on in my preaching ministry, when people would come up and say that I've never had anybody say like that, but maybe they'll say, I really enjoyed that message, which I always want to ask, what do you mean by enjoy? But having said that, I do, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, but you don't know, I missed all of subpoint two underneath this, you know. So how can, you know, yeah, all right, thanks, but come, you know, I know how much I really made that one stink, you know. And God very clearly said, you know, that's almost a form of pride, if not. And so just learning sometimes to say thank you and nothing else. Just say thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the encouragement, or something to that extent. But I usually like to press in a little bit further, you know, what specifically was God saying to you?
Yeah,
How do you think you need to respond, you know, to that? And glad to hear that God spoke to you, you know, what's going to change? So something along those lines, but
awesome.
In a gentle way.
So you were talking about last week, you had three people come up and share their sermon notes to you, and somehow that was feeding into what God did last year. And
Yeah, in a couple of cases, it was specifically people who, you know, have been seeking God's will. You know, God, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want me to, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How am I supposed, you know? And kind of, as I mentioned last week, sometimes we can over-spiritualize things and we can look for this mystical experience, or we expect God to whisper in our ear or appear to us or whatever. And a lot of times, and Christians are guilty of this, you know, well, I feel, and then fill in the blank, right? I feel that God is, well, you know, I'm not really interested in how you feel. I'm interested in what does God's word say? What does it mean? And how are you going to apply that in your life? And it was encouraging to me to hear people say, to hear the simplicity of, wow, God has spoken in his word. I need to concentrate more on obeying what I already know than to be praying and asking him what God wants to do 10 years down the road for me.
Yeah, awesome. What are some things you think about last year that kind of stand out?
One of the things that I spent, and Steph and I spent a lot of time on last year, and many of you did as well, at the beginning of the year, we had a theme that we entitled Momentum. And there were two main areas that we worked towards throughout the course of the year, which was one, a biblical approach to financial stewardship, and then I'd already mentioned the other with the study and sermon series we did on busyness. Both of those areas, thinking with our observation, two major areas of hurdles for our church and the people of our church that are facing. And so one of the things that we did was we offered Financial Peace University in a huge way last year, way back in April. Our leadership team, our families, and David and his wife went through Financial Peace together as we launched into it as a church. And then in the summer, we launched, I think in July, and we went through September. We had over 100 people involved, like 50 families. And it was just an exciting momentum, if you will, with the recognition as a body that this is an area that I need to grow in. And 100 eyes showed up and invested that time of 9 weeks. And it was really interesting to see that at the beginning of the class, 34 families actually submitted anonymous cards that said how much debt they have, how much savings they had. And in 34 families, actually six of those families were already debt-free. And so technically 27 families, there's $1.5 million in non-mortgage debt. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. That's an average of $53,000 per family that has debt. And when you think about the impact that has on our families and the available, and now, you know, we also focus on that from a church-wide standpoint, the bondage that we have as a church because of the extreme debt we have. And if we didn't have the debt, where could all that money go? It's just remarkable. And a lot of it is for stuff that we said yes to that were wants and not needs. And so just watching our church body be challenged in that area and see significant growth. At the end of the class, we had dozens of those people walk to the front of the last class and make a commitment before the class and God and everyone else that I am going to live debt-free, get debt-free, and live debt-free from now on. And dozens of those people did that. And when we think about moving into the future with that sort of commitment as no longer being slave to the lender, but being slave only to Christ, that there's not a division there. That's what I think about in the last year. And I hope and my prayers are that as we have less contact about that topic, because we aren't in a class every week for 9 weeks, I hope that the people that engage that topic have remained consistent and are praying for us in that manner.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing just to think about what bondage does in our lives, right? Whether it's an addiction, whether it's something that just keeps happening in our life, whether it's financial bondage, those things that affect us spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, so many other ways.
And I do want to mention that after just that 9 weeks, there was over $100,000 paid off and over $19,000 saved. And so that wasn't including the whole class, but of the people who again, anonymously submitted their information, which was only about 10 that actually submitted it post-class, but out of just 10 people submitting information, it was over $100,000 paid off just in the 9 weeks.
Wow. 9 weeks, people paid off $100,000 in debt. Well, praise God for that. That's a huge deal. You know, as I think about last year, I think about a lot of our families have just faced some really difficult challenges at home, with their families, their extended families, with kids, with marriages, and just seeing God's faithfulness to those families as we as a church have just kind of pulled in around them and seen God do something in those people's hearts to give them the faithfulness to obey, to stay the course, to trust Him. And to see God restoring what was once broken and possibly even seen as irreparably broken has been really cool to see. There's been several folks that have given their lives to the Lord for the first time this year that are sitting here in this room, and their eternities have been forever changed, which is super awesome for us. And thinking through that, the reason that we do our Upward Flag football program in the fall is so that we can share the gospel. And we got to do that with hundreds or even possibly thousands of people each and every week as we're sitting there talking to kids every week at practice to share the gospel. As halftime, we're sharing the gospel. The Gideons were out and we got to hand out, I didn't bring the number, but it was hundreds of New Testaments out to people in our community. So they've got a copy of God's Word there in their hands. And we got the privilege after the season to specifically and personally share the gospel with two of those that had asked us to follow up with them, which was pretty excited about. Our mission trips to Kosovo and West Virginia were awesome to be able to go and serve and to build relationships. It was super fun. And we also had missionaries, two missionaries with Hassan and Esmeralda from Kosovo and Pastor Philip in from South Africa. So for our church to begin to have more relationships with them, as well as we got to do, I think it was it 36 weeks we spent in Genesis last year?
It was a lot.
It was a lot. So in Genesis, to be able to go through God's Word together and learn things, and God has, on the discipleship side of things, has really put things into focus for us. And that's I'm pretty excited about that idea as we move into 2019, knowing that God has some things to do. But before we talk about where we're going this year, in Philippians we're reminded to not forget what we've already attained. And I think we as people, especially as Americans, oftentimes we take in information, we process it, we make a decision, and then it's on the back burner, or we forget about it because we feel like we've got to achieve something else, learn something else, grow somewhere else, and we forget what God has already taught us. So for us, just to pause for a quick moment, and as we think about the freedom that came for so many families and the freedom that they're about to attain as they get out of debt, just financially, don't forget what God has taught you. Don't forget. Stay the course with that. A couple of years ago, we did the Conquer series with our men, addressing the problem of pornography in our culture and in our lives. Don't forget, men, don't forget what you have already attained. Don't forget it. As we think about last year and going through the Crazy Busy series, most all of us would agree that our lives are busier or significantly busier than we ever want them to be. And it keeps us from doing the most important things in our lives. That God wants us to rest in Him, that He wants to be preeminent in our lives, above, set apart from everything else in our lives and in our schedule. Let's not forget what we have already attained. And for us as a church, you know, as I'm reminded as we go through this Old Testament, seeing the children of Israel gain freedom and restoration, and God keeps this remnant, He blesses them, and then they go on and they do evil again. But for us to remember who God has made us to be and where God has called us to go, let's remember those things, even especially as we look forward to 2019. We don't just leave those things in the past. We learn from them, and we stay the course with where God has brought us and taught us. And so were you about to say something about that? You look like you were about to.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, one of our core values is transformative grace. And we talk about that a lot, and we'll talk about it this year. But sometimes we think, you know, grace is what happens when you come to Christ. But we need grace for daily living. We are saved by grace. We stand in God's grace. And so, you know, despite what God may have brought you out of this past year, what freedoms you might be, you need to remain in God's grace throughout the year, throughout the rest of your life. For the people who have given their lives to Christ, whose marriages are being transformed and rebuilt into what God intended, it's going to be a daily battle. It's going to be a struggle because we have a real enemy. And we have to understand it's not our significant other. It's not our husband. It's not our wife. It's not our kids. It's not even your pastor. You have an enemy. And so we need to understand that even as we strive to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we do so under his sovereign hand and by his grace.
Amen. So. Yeah. Yeah, and as we look at 2019, if there's one thing that we really see above and beyond some of the other things that God's really going to do is for us being a church of disciples who make disciple makers has really come into focus for us. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be sharing what that plan looks like. Imagine where most everyone in this room is meeting with people on a regular basis, getting into God's word, memorizing his word together. Most churches in our culture, at best, they have random people, not many, but random people that passively disciple someone if someone comes to them for advice, right? For us, we're very much looking for something different, and God has called us to something much different. It is for our church to be a church of disciples who are making disciple makers. And that isn't just a strategy, it's not just a plan, it's not just a theme. This is what God has called us to do, us, all of us, with our lives. And we want to help train our church to be that in this coming year and to see the fruits of that beginning over the next few years. So we're pretty excited about that. I'm looking forward to sharing much more with you on that in the coming weeks. I know... next week we're doing, not that.
We're beginning the series ID,
okay.
Which is going to deal with our distinctiveness as a church. What makes us unique? You know, sometimes you're driving down the road and you see a bazillion churches and you wonder, why do we even need another church? Why do we need these many churches? So we're going to talk about what makes New Life unique. We'll look at a couple of our core values the first 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, we're going to explore our discipleship pathway here. We're going to get a chance to hear from several people who are currently involved in D groups so that not only you hear it from a structural pathway kind of thing, but also what it's doing in people's lives and why this is something we want to pursue. So.
Yeah. So as you guys think about the things we've talked about for 2019, about some of the specific things that are going to be happening this year, is there one that maybe sticks out to you other than just making disciples?
One of the things that has been heavy in my heart for the last year, and we are now putting traction to it, and you maybe have seen some evidence of that in bulletin and e-news and things, and maybe even got an email about it, but 2 weeks from yesterday, a week from this coming Saturday, there's a meeting as we are working to build up our visitation team. It's an area that we just have sensed that we need to increase the strength of our ministry in the area of visiting people, whether it's people that are elderly, sick, in the hospital, just going through a rough time, being able to be aware of situations happening in our body, and so that people in our body can serve and love other people in our body. It's not just us working to get to those people. And at the end of the day, a few people who are deacons and elders, at the end of the day, we in many cases fail to provide the level of care and concern that we truly feel because the days just aren't long enough at times with other things going on. And so, and really it's not appropriate for us to be doing all that anyway when we've got a whole body of people that care and have gifts and abilities and willingness is probably the biggest one in that area to go show up, knock on a door, go to a hospital room, and just sit with somebody and say hi. And we're going to, in 2 weeks, provide a little bit of training and share a vision for how we're going to communicate and keep others on the team up to date on that. But please come to that meeting. It's a huge ministry. If you've ever had a difficulty or concern, a sickness, how has it felt to have somebody stop by? And the more people we have come and get involved in that team, the better, because the better ability we're going to have to care and to reach out and to know of and stay updated on concerns that are happening with our bodies. So that's one thing I'm super excited about in the coming year.
And there's a meeting about that. When again?
Yeah, a week from this coming Saturday, so the 26th. At, I think it's 9:30.
So if you are interested, if you know you want to do it, or if you just want to hear what it's about.
Yep, any of those things. There's no commitment in coming to the meeting, but you're going to hear about how we're going to organize it. And there's an app that we're going to use specifically to be able to keep each other up to date so we're not stumbling over each other. And we're meeting and getting to people in an appropriate frequency.
Yeah.
Obviously, for me, I'm thinking there's two things that really stand out as the biggest, but I'm going to bypass them for the moment and kind of dovetail with what you were saying, Ryan, about life care, caring for the body, I would say. Eric and I have been discussing, I've been in discussions with other people about a need that we have here at the church that we would like to address and actually have a plan in place come this summer. Many of you know that every year Eric has high school seniors who graduate. Many of which go off to college, many of which don't. We have several that are here this morning. And so as the Lord continues to bless, we feel like this is a group of people that we need to invest more in. And so what we'd like to be able to do is actually this summer have something in place for our high school graduates, for our 20-somethings, where they can be connected, where they too can be challenged with God's word and encourage one another to live for Jesus. And, you know, we've already seen some neat things happen organically, but we feel like we can put some more muscle behind that. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and what you might not know, our church planted in October of 1999. Is anybody not alive in 1999? Several of you, yeah. Congratulations. In October of 1999 was our first service back in Indian Trail Elementary School. And this coming October, October of 2019, will be our 20th anniversary. And we are in the process of beginning to plan and think about and pray about how is it that God wants us to celebrate. And we've been looking at the story of Nehemiah when the children of Israel came back into Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the city walls and the city gates, and they rebuilt the temple, and they rebuilt the homes, and they came back in there, and God restored them into that moment. And looking at how did they celebrate this momentous occasion as God has rescued them. And so we are working through what a weekend of a celebration might look like for us as God's people to come together. And that'll be in October. We're excited about that. We're also looking at this year with doing, we call it, for lack of any cool term, are you laughing at me already? 20 changes for our 20th year. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Amy's like, yes. So it's not at all complete, and they're not all super spiritual, but some things that we are looking at for this year. We're looking at redoing our mission statement as a church to just better clarify and speak as to the mission specifically that God has called us to. We're looking at some adding new leaders in lots of areas, but especially on our deacon and our elder team and in some key areas of ministry to be able to equip people for those roles to better spread the work of ministry out. So we're looking to potentially add new staff and have some new roles and areas of responsibility for us here. Potentially, as we've talked about, the possibility of relocating. There's potentially a new facility or a new meeting place for us. We're talking about it, communicating in new ways and trying to figure out what are the best ways to get the information to you and from you and for all of us to be able to have and stay on the same page as God calls us forward. We're talking about ways to better reach our community. Not just so that people will come to church, but so that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives. And how do we do that best in our culture, in our world, and in our church? So new ways of doing that. We're talking about new partnerships with missionaries and what that might look like. We're talking about potentially having a new financial position for our church, for our church to potentially be able to celebrate what it looks like to be debt-free. And how fun and awesome and incredibly cool that would be for those of you that get that. We're looking at potentially having some new people begin to preach God's word, to share their gifts with you both here and in other places. We're looking to have new life into our times of worship so that our worship time here with music might take what we already do and make it even better as a way to express what God is doing in our lives each and every Sunday. We're talking about a new focus on prayer. We're talking about new graphics. We're talking about times this year for us as a church to worship and fast and pray together. Lots of new things as we begin to go into our 20th year and celebrate that God has kept us and that God continues to have a plan for us because God doesn't change. So lots of things coming up here as we think about our 20th year. So as we think about that, Sunday mornings is a part of that, right? And a pretty significant part with what we're teaching. What are we looking at as far as teaching and what's on tap for us for Sunday mornings?
Well, beyond the ID series, we're going to be spending a good chunk of our time this year in the book of Hebrews, which is an excellent book to follow up the book of Genesis because, again, it highlights the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ. And it actually is going to require everybody to keep their Old Testament open, because the New Testament book of Hebrews refers a lot back to the Old Testament. And so it'll be really neat coming off of our time in Genesis. And then also later on in the year, we're going to spend some time in one of my favorite books, I think probably one of your favorite books, and that's the book of Ephesians. That'll be a great time of study as well. So those will be the two major book studies. There'll be some other things sprinkled throughout the year as well.
Yeah. I realized that I forgot a question earlier I want to go back to, but is there anything that you guys wanted to share on where God's taken us or anything else that we might have missed?
Well, I was just going to say we asked the congregation to pray for a meeting on Friday. Do we want to say anything about that?
I actually did forget about
yeah.
that. Whoops. For many of you, you know that we have been considering the possibility of relocating. Why? For us as a church, this facility was built and mortgaged primarily on the idea that there were 1,000 people here and growing. That's not who we currently are, but yet we continue to carry that debt as a church. And that debt, praise God, we've been able to make all of those payments. We've never been late because we've not had funds, which is remarkable that God has done that and provided over and over again. But oftentimes, if you've got a house that takes up too much of your income, you realize that straps you from doing some other things. And for us, although we're able to pay the payments, which is awesome, we're not able to invest in mission and ministry near as much as we really want to. And so God has been challenging us this past year to look at some ways that we might be able to get rid of this financial burden so that we could reinvest those financial resources into mission and ministry. With that, here in the last, I think it's been 2 months, there's been the possibility of us selling this facility or part of the property that we own. We have 46 acres here. So that's come up in the last couple months to potentially sell that to another church that might be interested in this. So we met with that church here this past week, had a good meeting with them Friday evening. And there's no big news to share. We're still waiting on the bank as they're in conversations with banks so they can figure out financially what can they do. But I can tell you that the possibility is still there for them to be able to purchase this, for us to think about what does relocating look like, where do we go temporarily, where do we go permanently, so that we can be able to invest differently financially. So our prayer has been that God would allow us to be debt-free, and our prayer has been that God would allow us to pay cash for our next facility. And I don't know that God's going to grant both of those, but that's something that we have been praying for, and so we think would be ridiculously awesome to be able to do, because our purpose here is not to have a big facility, it's not to have an awesome facility, it's to be a church of disciples who are making disciple makers. And for us, we want to make sure that we're investing the resources that we have to do that. So the plan would be in the next couple of weeks, I think we'll have something more specific as to if that church is continuing to be interested and they're able to do it financially. Certainly they're interested. They very much want to do that, but they're waiting on the bank at this point. So if you've ever been waiting on the bank, you know what that's like. It's not always on what's never on your time frame. So we might hear more this week. It might be in the next 2 weeks, but that's where that is. And we're excited about the possibilities of that.
Yeah, I would just piggyback on that to say there's a bittersweetness about the idea of this. For those of us who have been around for a while, this is a place, this building is somehow linked in a way with the people, even though we definitely are most interested in our church family, the people that make that up. But for just a fondness of a place that we've spent time together, and for our kids that've grown up here, and this is the place that you associate with the people. And so while that's true, there's an awfully huge excitement about thinking about the financial resources that we could redirect into staff, into different aspects of ministry. I mean, just think about the energy that would get injected if we could add a staff member that's focused on elementary ministry, a staff member that has time to really pay attention to our business functions, our accounting functions, a staff member to put an emphasis on this discipleship ministry. I mean, just think about the energy when somebody's freed up to focus on these things. The sentimental half of me fades away pretty quickly when I think about the benefit of what freeing up, you know, anywhere from $13,000 to $15,000-$16,000 a month. Yeah.
Swallow hard.
Gulp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. All that also said, on Friday we met with these folks, and it's really a cool experience to sit there and pray with the people that are considering buying your facility. You know, they're interested in our future. We're interested in their future. We don't want them to get saddled with something they can't handle. It would hamper their ministry. We have been there. We are there. We don't want that for them.
Yeah.
They want to launch us off into a place where God wants us to be. So it's really a unique experience to have a business deal with other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the reality is that there's only one church. You know, and sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, we have all these different flavors and, you know, denominations and such. And sometimes, you know, people are about building their own kingdom, but we need to have that one church mentality that you know, if Jesus were to write one of these letters, you know, to his people here in Columbus, it wouldn't be to First Presbyterian or First Baptist or Second Church of the Apostles, to the third cousin of something or other.
Anyway, third cousin.
You know, it would be to the church in Columbus. And I was just looking through as I was thinking, you know, Paul wrote to the church, you know, in Corinth, to the church of in Thessalonica, or to the church of the Thessalonians. You know, we are the church, and I think that really in light of everything that's been happening, these most recent discussions back, the Sunday before we had Thanksgiving. If for those of you that were here for that praise service, you would have heard something that was unscripted, and that was a number of people who made the comment, the church is not a building. And I thought, wow, you know, this is God doing something.
Yeah.
And for people to catch that idea. And so when you take that coupled with the renewed, not a renewed focus, because the focus has been there, but now the nuts and bolts, the teeth, if you would, to how to go about making disciples, you know, now you're talking about an unleashed church, which goes back to a theme from a couple of years ago. So I'm really excited about what, I mean, yeah, I just start for a moment to think about what would happen to this church, what would happen to individuals, what would happen to families, what happened to this church, what would happen to our community, if everybody here was reading two chapters of scripture a day, memorizing a couple of verses a week,
yeah,
meeting together on a weekly, I just, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So all in all, we are excited about the things that God has been doing, and we're pretty stoked about the things that he's going to do. And we don't have it all mapped out, but that's God's job. We know that he is sovereign. He is full of grace. That God, he has some good things for us, and we're looking forward to those things. So we want to celebrate his goodness. We want to celebrate his love, both in the past and present. We also, as we're able, we as a church family, we want to prepare for God's plan in the future as he makes it happen. And we want to get involved. Our church is a church that it is us. It is not a bunch of professional people doing professional ministry. We are a family. And we want to serve one another. We want to get to know one another. We want to live life together and be God's people together. So if you're not involved, I would encourage you to get involved. If you've not had a chance to visit a life group, to check it out, to see if maybe this might be a smaller group of people that God wants you to connect with and live together with, try it out. Stop at the Connection Center today and be like, hey, what's going on with this life group thing? If you're here and you don't have a place to serve and use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you, stop at the Connection Center and give them your name. We want you to be using what God has given you to serve others, to lift up the saints. God's given you a gift to use. We want you to use it, and we want to help you figure out how to use it. So if there are other areas that you are not involved, get involved and be a part of what God's doing. And if there's something that we missed today that is on your heart or on your mind that you have questions to, stop one of us. Set a time. We'd love to sit and talk about what's going on in your life if we haven't heard it. And if there's something that we can share with you that we know about where God has us to go, we would love to have that chat with you. So as we end, I want to pray and just thank God for the time that we have together, and then we're going to close by worshiping the Lord together through song. So God, thank you for today. God, as we pause here in this moment, we know that you are here, and God, that you are listening. God, that you are speaking to each of our hearts, different things and the same things, all at the same time. And God, that your desire would be much like the people in Malachi. God, that they would return to you and you would return to them. God, that we would be your people, recognizing your grace. God, the fact that you never change. God, that you are sovereign over all of the things in our lives that bring us fear and anxiety. things that we struggle with, things that we fail in, things that we worry about. God, that we would realize that you are God over them all. And God, may we, piece by piece, with your grace and you giving us the faith, God, that you would be preeminent in every area of our lives. God, that piece by piece, that you would remove busyness. God, that we would experience freedom in our schedules and our finances. God, that we would experience freedom in the things that we are addicted to, the things that we desire that aren't good or healthy. And God, that you would not just draw us closer to you, but in doing so, God, that you would draw us closer together. God, that we would be your people, that we would speak with one voice, that we would worship with one voice. And God, that you would be glorified. And God, in the end, may we be a people who have been found faithful. God, that is our prayer today. All of our plans, all of our thoughts, all of our ideas, all of our strategies, God, we lay at your feet and submit to you for your will, for your glory, and for your name. And it's in the great name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen.